This is Brian Gambria with news for the KVNF listening area Thursday, April 4th, 2013. We start with President Obama's visit to Colorado yesterday. As Morning Edition reported, President Obama was in Colorado to continue his push for stricter federal gun laws. During a speech at the Denver Police Academy, he praised what the state has done since last year's Aurora and Newtown, Connecticut shootings. Benta Berkland, KVNF's Capitol correspondent, has this detailed look at his visit.
President Obama used Colorado as an example as he tries to revive stalled gun legislation in Congress. Before his speech, he spent about an hour in private discussions with law enforcement officials, Governor John Hickenlooper, sportsmen, and families of shooting victims.
There doesn't have to be a conflict between protecting our citizens and protecting our Second Amendment rights.
But recent national polls show support for stricter gun laws slipping. Since 20 children and 6 adults were gunned down at Sandy Hook Elementary School in December. However, polls continue to indicate widespread support for universal background checks for gun purchases.
If you want to buy a gun, whether it's from a licensed dealer or a private seller, you should at least have to pass a background check to show you're not a criminal or someone legally prohibited from buying one. And that's just common sense.
In addition to passing universal background checks, Colorado lawmakers also approved a controversial bill limiting high-capacity magazines to 15 rounds. Obama says Colorado is a Western state that cherishes the Second Amendment and gun ownership, but he also thinks Colorado, home to two of the country's worst mass shootings, can serve as a national model.
Every day that we wait to do something about it, even more of our fellow citizens are stolen from our lives by a bullet from a gun. Now, the good news is Colorado has already chosen to do something about it.
But the debate over gun control has bitterly divided state lawmakers, drawing hundreds of protesters to the Capitol. During one hearing, Republican Senator Kevin Lundberg of Berthoud said a ban on high-capacity magazines clearly violates the Second Amendment.
I believe there is a best way, and it's the American way. It's the path of responsible citizens, capable and allowed to defend themselves, and everything within this bill says no, you don't.
Rocky Mountain Gun Owners, a statewide gun rights advocacy group, has pledged to pour money into the 2014 elections to oust Democrats. Nationally, President Obama says despite public support, universal background checks are a tough vote. He blames the gun lobby for ginning up fears among responsible gun owners and feeding into suspicions about the government.
We knew they'd try to make any progress collapse under the weight of fear and frustration, or maybe people would just stop paying attention. The only way this time will be different is if the American people demand that this time it must be different.
The U.S. Senate is expected to take up gun legislation next week, and the president will continue his push for gun control laws. He's speaking in Hartford, Connecticut on Monday, near the location of the Newtown shooting. I'm Benta Berkland in Denver.
In the ongoing lawsuit against Delta County and two henlaying operations, one on Powell Mesa and another proposed for Redlands Mesa, the plaintiffs have won another victory in court. District Court Judge J. Stephen Patrick ruled on March 29th that the case be remanded back to Delta County commissioners based on the plaintiffs' claim that they were denied due process during the first court remanded hearing in September. The lawsuit claims the henlaying operation owned by the Hostetler family creates pollution, noise, and dust that are causing serious negative impacts to people living nearby. Plaintiff Susan Raymond says there have been some 20 health complaints from neighbors of the facility, ranging from asthma to rashes. The Denver Post reports that two dry winters in a row have prompted Colorado water users and providers to prepare early in the season for water scarcity. The U.S. Drought Monitor shows all of Colorado is experiencing some level of drought this year. A large portion of southern Colorado is seeing exceptional drought, the most extreme condition on a five-level scale. Denver Water, Fort Collins, Colorado Springs, Aurora, Thornton, and other communities are already trying to limit watering. Colorado Springs will also charge large water users higher rates. Bart Miller, Water Program Director for Water Resource Advocates, a nonprofit conservation group, said Wednesday utilities learned a lot from the 2002 drought, one of the worst in the state's history. A decade ago, they waited until May 1st to take action, and many consumers didn't get the message until July, when they got their water bills and it was too late to have much impact. Many utilities and water regulators now begin taking action on April 1st. According to water regulators, the winter of 2012 was the fourth worst on record in the Colorado River Basin, and the 2013 forecast has been grim. The only improvement during the two winters occurred in March, when several major snowstorms continued to build snowpack. By this time in 2012, runoff was already well underway. Colorado River District General Manager Eric Kuhn said water restrictions are going into effect now to prepare for the worst. Quoting Kuhn, "In a year like this, every extra drop of water we can store now will help us later." The Bureau of Land Management's Uncompahgre Field Office announced Wednesday that the agency will initiate an environmental impact statement for a proposal to drill up to 146 natural gas wells and 4 water disposal wells in the Bull Mountain Unit. The proposal also calls for the construction of access roads and pipelines. The Bull Mountain Unit Master Development Plan targets almost 20,000 acres of federal and private subsurface mineral estate in the upper North Fork Valley, 30 miles northeast of the town of Paonia, and bisected by Colorado State Highway 133. The proposal was analyzed in a preliminary environmental assessment. However, the BLM determined an EIS was necessary to provide a more in-depth analysis to address air quality. In addition to receiving and considering previous comments from the public through the environmental assessment, the public will have another opportunity to comment on the draft EIS soon as that document is complete. All comments received during the preliminary environmental assessment will be fully considered in the EIS. For more information, go to blm.gov or contact the Bull Mountain EIS Project Coordinator at 970-596-0251. The Denver Post reports that applications for Colorado big game hunting licenses came in so fast on Monday and Tuesday that the computer and credit card processing systems crashed. The deadline to apply for those licenses was Tuesday. Colorado Parks and Wildlife said high volume caused a link for online applications to crash for about 3 hours Monday night. Continued high volume Tuesday morning left an estimated 2,000 hunters unable to have their application fees processed by credit card from 4:15 a.m. until 8:15 a.m. The system was operating normally later on Tuesday. Parks and Wildlife spokesman Randy Hampton said the agency won't know for a few more weeks exactly how many applications were made, so they can't yet judge whether a call to boycott hunting in Colorado made a significant change. A handful of hunting groups and individuals called for the boycott as a way of protesting Colorado's recent passage of 3 gun control bills. On Monday, Governor John Hickenlooper defended the state's authority over local communities in regulating oil and gas drilling during a debate with Boulder County Commissioner Elise Jones. Hickenlooper's position has sparked strong opposition in cities and counties across the Front Range, where municipalities have tried to enforce their own restrictions on the gas and oil industry, and some have been sued by the governor. The debate was sponsored by the college's Natural Resources and Environmental Law Society at the University of Denver. KVNF's Marty Derlin has more.
Boulder County Commissioner Elise Jones talked with KGNU's Jim Pullen the day after the debate. Jones, the former head of the nonprofit Colorado Environmental Coalition, joined the commissioner's panel in January. She spoke to the main issue she has with the governor.
Well, I think the biggest bone of contention is probably state versus local control. The state would prefer that they're the ones in charge on this, and we've been arguing with communities across Colorado for years that this is a partnership and the state should set strong standards and protections, but they should be a floor, not a ceiling, and local governments must be able to go further, and many local governments have, and we don't want to be challenged in court when we do. I'd like to think optimistically that the governor is starting to understand that suing his constituents is not a good strategy and that there's better ways to move forward. And I hope that we'll see a change in that posture going forward, but we'll see.
Although the debate had contentious moments, Jones said she hoped it was the beginning of an ongoing discussion.
I am glad that we are having this conversation, and what's happening with fracking is very important. It's also critical that we understand that it's part of the larger dialogue on how we get our energy. And ultimately, if we want to bypass concerns around fracking and if we want to address climate change, we really need to be looking at a more visionary level about getting to a energy future that's not reliant on fossil fuels.
For KVNF News, I'm Marty Derlin.
Thus concludes today's newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria. Good day.